Well, we'll get started. Welcome to you all. Thank you for coming. I wasn't sure exactly what the format of the workshop would be. To me, a workshop is I give you the work to do and you do it. And I'm just here to look at what you're doing and trying to get you to work harder. But let me first introduce myself. I'm going to talk a little bit about myself, which I don't like to do, but it's better to give you a background of where I'm coming from. The topic the Lord put on my heart was to talk about the qualities of the people that God uses. And this is a good place to meet many people that the Lord is using. And it's great to be able to talk with them, to pick their brain out and see what they want to give you as advice. And I don't consider myself as a great example of somebody used by God, but I qualify because I'm not very smart, not very beautiful. Anyway, my name, thank you. What's your name? Let's pray first. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share some of my thoughts of how you pick up people to be co-laborers with you, Lord, and it's such an immense privilege. It's hard to understand why you do it, but we know that you choose us, Lord, because then you get all the glory. We know it's not because of our gifts or our smarts or looks or networks. It's all of you, Lord, and we want to admit it very willingly. We thank you for this conference, to be able to fellowship together, but fellowship with you, being in your word, and we thank you for the wonderful worship times we're having, Lord, and we pray that you keep blessing the rest of this conference. So, my name, thank you, Lord. Amen. My name is Pierre Petrignani. My wife and I started a church in Nice, France, in 1993. And I had the privilege of being at this Scandinavian conference already a couple of times. The first time, I think, was in 2003. Some of you were not born yet. It's true. And at the time, the conference was happening in Malmö with Kent Ekerlund and his wife Anna, and Dave and Ingalil were already part of the conference, as they said. And then I went to the conference. I was invited to the conference at Elkebyholm, I think, the former seminary there. And I think that was in 2011. And so I'm coming back 12 years later, and it's great to see that there has been quite a bit of church growth. Mainly, I don't know, I haven't seen your churches, but I can see all those little kids running around. And at that time, Joel, for instance, wasn't married, and now he's married, he has four children. Praise the Lord. And many of you, I was expecting to have the Viking games going on at all times, pretty much like they used to be, but I think the parents have slowed down quite a bit. And the kids are not old enough to be mean and and violent like the Vikings have to be. My name, Petrignani, sounds Italian, which in many ways it is. But it's actually a Corsican name, that island where Napoleon was born. And but I feel like though I belong here, thanks to myheritage.com. Somebody offered me a DNA test, and to my big surprise and my joy, it revealed I was 52% Scandinavian. Yay! So when I got those results, I went to Nancy and I said, you know why I am so handsome? I'm 52% Scandinavian. And only 26% Italian, 20% Sardinian, and the rest is some Spanish roots. And I was wondering, how is that possible? You know, the Vikings going to Corsica. And actually, my mom has connection in Luxembourg. So maybe some Viking forays in that country explain why I'm so beautiful. My topic is quality of the people God uses. It's not so much about the qualifications to be an overseer, an elder, or a deacon that you can find in 1 Timothy 3 or Titus 1. But it's more the qualities that you need to cultivate. You might not have those qualities right away. Some of you have qualities that you want to keep and nurture and cultivate. You can always pray for the qualities that are needed to be used by God. And especially you want to cultivate them. When you go and you look at that topic, if you use the people God uses, you get a list of answers. If you use the man God uses, you get other responses. And I didn't know, but there is a book by Pastor Chuck Smith called The Man God Uses. And it's available on Amazon. I didn't get it, but I was able to look at it. There are 8 key qualities of the man God uses. A good message also by Oswald Smith. I just found probably like 15 minutes ago that my friend and pastor Ed Taylor has a couple of sermons on that topic, and I wish I would have found that sooner, much sooner. But anyway, the base of all those messages is that anyone can be used by God. Anyone can be used by God. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29. I'm reading from the ESV. We can turn it to the passage. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose that is what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God uses us to get the glory. Because we know we don't deserve any glory, and it's all because of His grace that we are able to serve and be used of Him. I like that expression that says that God uses crooked sticks to draw straight lines. I think it's Martin Luther that said that. And I don't know who said it, but it's pretty well known. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So if you feel a calling, that's what matters. And I take it that if you are here, it's because many of you have a sense of you want to be used by God. Just to go back to my life, again, I'm not putting myself as an example of somebody that has been greatly used of God. I was born in 1949. So people are calculating. I'll be 75 pretty soon. I was raised Catholic in France. But then I went to school and all the teachers were Marxist influenced by Marxism. And religion was like opium of the people. And I left any kind of faith at a very early age. Then I met my Nancy, my future wife. We've been married for 45 years, not 50 yet. And we met in a discotheque. Yeah. Actually, that was before John Travolta and his flashy style. It was more like students getting together and dancing to some jazz music. And we lived in sin. I'm not proud of that. She wanted me then to discover her country. In the good old USA, US of A. And I agreed thinking that I would be there for 1 or 2 years. And they turned into 15 years. I had a good job with the telephone company in computers. We were buying our first house. We had a big yard. We had our first son. We have two now. We have four grandsons, but, we got invited one day to come to a Christmas celebration at a church. It was 1993. It turned out this was Calvary Chapel of Seattle with Pastor Wayne Taylor. And pretty soon, we were invited by some family members, Nancy's family. And the following week, we were wondering, you want to go back to that church? We had never been in church together. And for some reason, there was a draw. And we didn't want to admit it. So I said, yeah, we could. What do you think? Oh, yeah, let's go. So we went back. And pretty soon, we couldn't get enough. We were there from Sunday to Saturday. There was always something, and we were just thriving and loving it. Then I would go back to my country, France, where I had my mom and my sister still lived there. And we would want to find a church like what we had found in Seattle and realize at the time there was nothing at all like this. So the Lord started to put in our hearts the idea of going back to France, living a very comfortable life in Seattle, to do something about the gospel. I never thought I would be a pastor one day. If you had told me that at the time, I probably would have punched your face. You're crazy. But what's neat in the States, maybe it's the same here, but it's not the case in France. You have a lot of Christian radio programs. So as you drive to work, you can turn on and find a message, a Christian message all over the, I mean, several radio stations. And there was one where there's a famous pastor in the States called Chuck Swindoll. And one day, his message was about Abraham's life when he went going not knowing. And at the time, I was 43 years old. And basically, he was saying, maybe among the audience, there are some people that are wondering if they should take a major turn in their vocation, and maybe you can't stop thinking about it, but you're not sure, you know, you don't think, you think maybe you're too old to do it. Yeah. And then there was the clincher. And I'm sharing that to you, all the young people, and even the older people. He added, you feel that there may be a call on your life. And then he said, do you want to get to be 75 years old and wonder? What could have happened if you had heeded the call? And to me, that was it. I didn't know what I could be doing for the Lord, but I didn't want to do nothing and wonder what would have happened if I had gone somewhere. So we decided we're going. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't know how it would work out. But the Lord has been very faithful and honors faith and trust in Him. And maybe among us there are some young people, maybe some older people. I was 43 when I did that. My mom in France was sure I had fallen into a cult. The guru was Chuck Smith. Oh, with a big Hawaiian shirt. He looks like a guru, doesn't he? And so, on Memorial Day 1992, we took the plane and went back to France. And I will spare you all the details, but we started our first service on July 4th, 1992, in our living room with my son Tonio, his brother Sebastian. They were 10 and 7 at the time, and Nancy, my wife. The four of us, we had our first service. Then we started meeting students at the university, and we got teams to sent by our pastor in Seattle to help us. And some of you have even come when we were in those early days to help us and visited us and ministered to us and with us. And we were the very first Calvary Chapel in France. At the time, there were some churches there was a big church in Ziegen, where Nick Long was mightily used of God, and also in the former Yugoslavia, in Hungary, and you know some of these people. And the work has been very, very slow. Because the Lord has to qualify us. And it's a good thing that the church didn't grow fast. I would have been so proud and so bad, you know, thinking that I knew things were to be done, and pride would have put me on the dustbin or the ash heap or whatever. So the work has been very slow, and 35 years later, there are only 5 Calvary Chapel churches in France. But we started something, and we're very glad, very happy, and very thankful to the Lord for letting us start this. Again, I don't say that to tell you I'm a great man of God. No. I want to talk about the qualities that I've not taken care of as much as I should have. And that's something when you look back, you say, what if I had done more of this? What if I had prayed more? Billy Graham was saying, you know, he wished he had traveled less and prayed more. So even the great men of God, when they look back, they have regrets. And if I can say some things that will allow you to avoid those mistakes, that would be great. Last year was a hard year. I lost my brother-in-law to some cancer, brain cancer, in February. He was not a Christian until then, but I was able to lead him in a prayer to receive the Lord just a few days before he couldn't speak anymore. And I have to trust that he is with the Lord today. That's what the word says. So, but then we had 2 good friends working on a small team of organizing the Calvary Chapel Association churches in Europe. There was Pastor Peter Will in Hanover. And he was sick with fibrosis, and he passed away in probably in April. And 6 weeks later, my very good friend and Bob's friend too, Craig Quam, passed away from leukemia. And when I see how the Lord has used those guys, you know, I feel like I'm a nobody. Craig was amazing. He was, he had started very young in the ministry, doing trips to Nepal and India, preaching the gospel under tents. And he started the church in Monte Belluna, a great work with a Bible school where many of the Italian pastors have been formed, schooled, and he's someone that I look up to when I see his life, his character. I can see some of the qualities that are needed to be used by God to a much greater degree. And so, if we get into the workshop now, it's been a long introduction. I'm sorry again if it seems like I'm talking a lot about myself, but hopefully that would encourage some, even if you're not 52% Scandinavian. And that's where I would like you to participate a bit. You know, what can you think of the qualities that are needed to be used by God, or that you can cultivate to be better used by God? I forgot to say, you must have climbed the Great Wall, which is a lie. I never went to China. My sister brought me back that t-shirt. And it's a good quality one. So, anyway, I want you to come up with some ideas of what you think are some great qualities. And, you know, we'll try to maybe sort them out or look at a passage to see how they apply in the Word of God, because that's what we want to talk about, right? The Word of God, not the words of Pierre. So, anyone can come up with some qualities that are needed. Good looks? We said good looks.
No.
Height. IQ? No. Patience. You think of patience in waiting for results or in patience to around people?
Around people and also process during making possible for certain people. There's other people maybe rejecting.
Yeah, I'll repeat the. He's saying patience in reaching people, some are slower than others, and you need to be willing to wait for the response. But I think patience is a great quality all around. And I agree, that's a good one. Anyone else? Yes?
Discipline.
Discipline in what? In the way you study, in the way you organize your life, or what you, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Your name again? I'm sorry. Stefan is saying that discipline can be taking over a lot of the problems if you're not patient, but you discipline yourself to be so, or to be more patient with people, that will help you a lot. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes?
Identification.
Can you elaborate?
Yeah, to be a Jew for the Jews and Greek for the Greeks.
Okay.
For the Muslims, like that.
So you want to know your target, yeah, to adjust the way you present the message? Mm-hmm. That's very good. Yeah? Yes?
I think God can use weak people.
Yeah. What your name again?
Fabian.
Yeah. So weakness is a quality in the sense that God can use you? Yeah. That seems contradictory, you know. You want to be strong, but it's when we are weak that He is strong in our behalf. Yes? Obedience?
Yeah, it's working. Thank you. Yes, Fabian?
I think God can also use broken people.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes?
Someone who wants to serve. Someone who is ready to serve.
Oh, willingness to serve. And your name again?
Dennis.
Yes. Yeah.
I think humility is a greatest thing, especially if you are, like, in the sense that you are teachable, willing to change maybe your, well, how do you say it? Teachable. Anyway,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Forgiveness.
I was thinking about the same pure of heart. Heart is pure. Forgiveness comes into that also. But to have that
Yes.
Think of King David. He loved God so much, and he wanted to be with him. And he repented later when he sinned.
So how will you summarize all that? Love of God and repentant heart, or repentance. Yes?
Boldness.
Yes, Christoph. So that means honesty, that means no pretense, that means being trustworthy, all that. Right?
Love.
Yeah. Yes.
Passion to Jesus.
Passion for Jesus,
yes.
Yes. Missing a few things, maybe?
Gracious.
With people, being standing grace. Yeah. Yes, Fabian?
Gentleness.
We had a great devotional time this morning where Paul talked about being kind, and that's gentleness. And I was saying, in our world, you know, being kind is almost seen as a weakness. But Paul was quoting psalms and different passages, and it's a highly valued quality appreciated by God. It's really countercultural, in a sense. Yeah. Prayer and vision.
Disciples in the room until they be endued with power from on high.
be spirit filled. Amen.
Intelligence?
Diligent. You said the same word, diligence, in the forest movies. They are attacking the diligence. No, to carry. It's a French word for the horse carriage. Or anyway, diligence is a good one. I think we're still missing a big one there. Wholeness. Holiness. We said that. So there's a big missing item.
Consistency,
that's a good one. But you all want to go to the fight, to the combat, and you're forgetting your weapon. Yeah. Yeah, all that is very good, but if it's not based on the scripture, on the word of God, I know it's, you didn't mean to forget that, but it's not there yet.
The armor. Like wearing the armor of word of God.
Oh, the armor. Yeah. See. So we are starting to get a good armor all around. Can you think of, there might be some things you're still thinking of? Britt was telling me she's and her husband are going to very dangerous places because they are willing to be persecuted or suffer, willingness to suffer for him. Being
I don't have any other qualities, but I'm willing, and I think God will equip you. So I think that's what I want to
do. You're right. That's a good remark. I agree with that. Yeah, if you don't want to be used by God, He's not going to force you. You know, He's looking for ready vessels of people that want to be used of him.
Sometimes people that he doesn't, they don't even know they are being used.
People that he don't even know.
Sometimes God is an unbeliever.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So being an unbeliever might be a way to get you. We can write it down, but it's true that, you know.
Right place at the right time.
Yeah. So Being flexible. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Chuck 3:16. Okay, so attentive. Uh-huh. So yeah, when we pray, we want to wait for him to respond. Yeah. Yes. Prayerful. Sorry, this is not the best. I wanted to be more central, but yes, please. I did. Born, spirit born, yeah. Born again. Poor in spirit. Yes? Generous? Willingness is more general, but available is there is something to be done. Are you there? Yeah. Yes? So willingness to sacrifice for the cause. Uh-huh. Well, if we can find a few people like this. I'm sorry.
How many of those can you blatantly lack and still be useful in a sense?
Yeah, but we heard even the unbelievers can be used by God. So we're off the hook. In a sense. But those are things that, you know, we want to value. We want to pray for. We want to cultivate. We want to communicate around us. And, thinking of my good friend, Craig Quam, I'm going to go through the list and he won't check all the cases, but a lot of them he would. He had vision. One more. Servant heart or hood?
Just the hood.
Yeah, just I won't embarrass him because he's now in heaven, but I'm going to look at some of those. You know, he had vision for sure for Italy and Europe. He was a man of prayer. Patience, would you say he was patient? Not so much. See? But he was mighty, he was disciplined, yeah, he was very disciplined. He He knew how to reach certain groups. He went to Nepal, he went to India, to Italy, and he knew how to be with the people. He was weak physically. And he had to depend totally upon the Lord. I was amazed when he had been fighting leukemia for 10 years. And the doctors had found a treatment that worked great for him for 4 years. And right after he had started that treatment, he had the opportunity to buy a big factory building in northern Italy, not far from where the church, the original church, was planted. And by faith, he launched into that. And the Lord blessed that amazingly. It's a beautiful building. There is a Bible school facility inside, a huge parking lot. It's amazing to see. And at the time he asked me what I thought, I said, it's really something you need to deal with the Lord, you know, because I can't tell you, you know, go for it. Because if you are sick, you know, in a year or two, that might really be hard for the church to deal with that. But he launched into it, and we were able to visit the building for the 25th anniversary of the church. That was glorious. And anyway,
obedient he was. He was willing to serve. He was very bold. He had integrity, he was spirit-filled, very diligent. His work power was amazing. He would never stop. He was consistent, he had the armor of God, flexible, not so much. So, you know, you can still be used by God if you don't check all the spots. Yes, Britt.
Yes. Me and my husband, we are old now. And we started when we were in very old room. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And even I have sitting in wheelchair.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I have, yes, but I don't care. I don't care. And
keep going.
We are old now, but there are, you are so many here. And you can go there, because there are, you can go to places
where it's dangerous.
Britt
and her husband go to the Muslim world, and they've been in very dangerous places.
We go there, and we have been also close to be like,
yeah.
Yeah. In Iran.
Wow. Yeah, so that's the courage, that's the boldness. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
But we are now ready to go in autumn here. Yeah. We go now again.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's like the ever ready bunny rabbit, never stops going. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. Amen.
Amen. So, just quickly back, he was available, he was attentive to the voice of God, ready to sacrifice, he was a servant, he loved the word, he had love, he was very faithful, he was humble too, you agree? Yeah. He was teachable too. Yeah. What? Forgiving. He was holy, a purity of heart, definitely a love of, for God, love of God, a passion for Jesus. That would be a good description of him. He was gracious, he was very generous. Gentleness was not his principal quality, I would say. He could be rough on the edges. Sanctification, willingness to suffer, generous. So yeah, the more of these you have, the greater use the Lord can make of you. Or you understand what I mean? It's not a correct grammatical sentence, but so this is what I'm saying. If you turn to the Word of God. A great passage, Pastor Chuck Smith, if you studied the book of Acts with him, or listening to his tapes, or read sermons by him, he uses the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, to explicit some of those qualities. He talks about prayer, faith, giving glory to God, the word of God, persecution, being spirit-filled, being born again, boldness, submitted to God, being spirit-led, no compromise, obedience, good stewardship, using the resources the Lord gives you and trusts with you to good usage, and a faithful service. It'd be too long to use that text for this workshop, but I found another passage. You remember the Apostle Paul when he was in Ephesus, and he prayed with the elders there. So we are going to look at the passage, and I'm going to ask you to, well, see, read it first, and then, I'll ask you to point out some of those qualifications or those qualities in the text that you can see, okay? Reject it. If you, thank you. Acts 20. Verse 17. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city
that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent, that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you, your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. So far in God's word. So, we know that Paul was a fierce enemy of the way of the Christian faith initially. He got interrupted on the way to Damascus, and he became the greatest apostle in a sense. He wrote almost half of the New Testament, and he was for sure somebody greatly used of God. And I'm going to ask you to find in that passage some of the qualities that are listed by Pastor Chuck when he studies the book of Acts 6:3-6. God uses people of prayer. Where do we see prayer being happening in this passage? Sometimes the whole thing is called prayer of Paul with the Ephesian elders, but there is a specific place where he talks about prayer. Verse 36, very well. Yeah. Where does he talk about, so that prayer, then in Pastor's Chuck's list, number two is faith. Where do you see some faith in that passage? Take your time, you know, the word might be different or... Verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greek of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, that's verse 22, is going not knowing. That's the words of Abraham. Yeah, going not knowing. That was that sermon by Chuck Swindoll where he says, do you want to get to 75 and wonder what could have happened? No! Yeah, so going not knowing. What about giving the glory to God and being humble? 19. Very good, Ruth. Yeah. Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trial that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. So there was a tremendous humility. And if somebody had the right to be proud of his accomplishments for the Christian faith, you know, Paul would have qualified in a way, but he knew better. So all humility. You know, humility is being humble is just being realistic. It's not being stupid, thinking that you are responsible for any good thing that can happen in the Lord's business, in the Lord's work. Not business, sorry. Where does it talk about the Word of God, which we put right at the top there? I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Yeah. I'm sorry. 32 says also, and now I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Persecution is another. Ready to be persecuted, suffer persecution. Where is that listed? 23. That imprisonment and afflictions await me. And even verse 19, 29. Let's see. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That's for the flock. Yeah, there will be persecution coming. Let's see. Yeah, what else? There was. There were plots of the Jews in verse 19. So he knew what persecution was about. You know, he went to the heaven when he was left almost for dead. He was ready to suffer for his faith. It's something, you know, you wonder how the persecuted Christians do to endure their persecutions, you know, and I don't know if I would have the faith or how I would react, you know. All I can do is trust that the Lord would provide that strength if I have to suffer persecution or my family is to be dying in front of me or, but he was ready to do it. Was he filled with the Spirit? That's one qualification number 6 in that list of Chuck, which follows the text in the book of Acts initially. Not specifically said Spirit filled, but he said that he was, verse 23, the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. And what is that? 22? Let's see. He's constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen there. He's going not knowing because he feels the Spirit leading him there. Is there a mention of being born again? That's one of the qualifications of people God uses. I don't think I've found it here, but we know that on the road to Damascus, the Lord talked to him really directly, and he's the one who wrote 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, so he knew what the Spirit was about. Boldness, is there some? Yeah, yeah. And the eighth quality is, that's good. The boldness, can we see some boldness in that passage? Twenty. He did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. And 23, 22, Behold, I'm going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. Yeah. He was a very bold man. We know that. He was willing to be beaten. You know, it's amazing when we read his life. And that's also, you know, I liked what Mark was sharing this morning. You know, we know these stories so well, we cease to imagine. You know, imagination, when it's based on the Word of God, is a good thing, to try to feel what the people were feeling. And we know that he was going and he was proclaiming the gospel, you know, and people were catching him and beating him up. But we need to try to approach the scripture with a fresh vision every time we read the scripture. And it's nice because, you know, the same verse means something to you when you are not married yet, and then you read it 10 years later, or, you know, and it suddenly jumps at you because there is a meaning. It connects with your situation, your current situation. Submission to God. I think we've seen that he was willing to follow the Lord and to go to persecution. Led by the Spirit. We see that in verse 22, constrained by the Spirit. A lot of those passages are the same way, but I just wanted to show you that those qualities we talked about are all over the place. Yes, Britt? Yeah. So Brit is saying that they were taken prisoners in Iran.
He had to go back, and he was he couldn't say do anything.
Yeah.
So
if you have the faith that the Lord is protecting you, you can be very bold.
Yeah, and he was sweating.
He was sweating. Oh, yeah. He couldn't decide for himself. He was impressed by your resilience and your faith that was showing up. Yeah. Yes. And that's what I'm saying. I said I can't presume in my flesh that I would be resisting that the threats. But I trust that the Lord would come to my help, and giving me that courage or taking them away from my doing harm to me. Yes. And those things you cannot learn when you are reading your Bible in your living room with a cup of coffee, which is good. But if you step out in faith, then you have stories to tell. Not to brag about, but you are experiencing the way the Lord provides, the way the Lord works with you, through you, and no compromise. He didn't shrink from telling them all the gospel, all the word of God. He was obedient. He was ready to go to Jerusalem. He received verse 24. What did he receive? Let's see. Oh, he said that the ministry he has received from the Lord to testify of the grace of God, of the gospel of the grace of God. He was obedient. He was a faithful servant, a good steward. Verse 33 through 35. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourself know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who are with me. So he was taking care of his needs by what the Lord had entrusted, the gifts the Lord had entrusted to him. And he was for sure a faithful servant. He was serving, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials. That happened to him through the plots of the Jews. And just that shorter passage, you can see those qualities exhibited. And like we said, we don't have to check all the qualities here. I think the Word of God, prayer, faith are probably the essentials. And then as the Lord, you know, puts you in situation, you need to still follow his word and be obedient and grow in grace and serve him. And are there any comments or remarks? I'm sure we could come up with other remarks. We need to remove any hindrances. That's something that could prevent us from doing the work of the Lord. We need to have one purpose, you know, sharing the gospel, getting people saved. We need to have one thing I do, you know, that was Paul in Philippians 3:13, let all these subsidiaries interest, you know, take second place. When we were in Bible school, there was those tests, you know, where you can answer some questionnaires and see, what spiritual gift you have. And, we were there when we were past 40 years old, so we could look at the younger students, you know, with love and interest. And one thing that was always surprising to us is most of the young guys had the gift of martyrdom. They wanted to go and be killed for the Lord, you know. The funny thing is that most of them didn't have the gift of celibacy. They wanted to get married before being martyred. And I'm joking, but I would do the same thing, you know. And so we have to be consistent in what we do and what we say. We don't want to be a false lemon tree, right? So I'll ask Bob to finish us in prayer, if you would. We could go on, as you realize, forever, but here we go. Okay.
All right, good. Go to the pulpit. Is it gone? Yeah, okay. Let's pray, guys. Yeah. Thanks, Pierre. What an interesting list we've come up with, and let's just ask the Lord to put all these things in our hearts and lives and make them a reality. So he could use us for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you so much for this time we've shared, just meditating together upon your word, and also just considering the life of an actual brother, which some of us in this room have had the privilege of knowing, and the honor of witnessing your spirit and presence work through this man. And Lord, we desire to have all these qualities in our life, Lord. And we know that it's only by a work of your grace, your presence, and your spirit in our lives. So we want to look to you now. We want to humbly come before you and say, Lord, forgive us for our shortcomings. Lord, you know every area where we fall short. And you know the areas that we fall short in that we aren't willing even to admit to you because of our pride. We are good at deceiving ourselves, Lord. So we pray, Father, that you'd just help us to be humble and open and honest and real before you, and that you would work in our lives, making us the men and women that you've called us to be for your glory, for your purposes, and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.